Giants fans, welcome to Big Blue All Day, the podcast that brings you New York football Giants content all day long while your hosts toe-tap the line between podcast professionals and a bunch of fanatics talking shit at the end of the bar. Don't forget to check out our print content at bigblueallday.com and rate and subscribe wherever podcasts are found. Adult content ahead, because you know, we're doing it live. You got Mac back here on the mic tonight and on the line introducing the Giants disciple himself, Tracksuit Mike, and as always, Rahway Tommy. Victory Monday, boys.
There's definitely only one way to start this Victory Monday. Victory!
Thank you, God.
Victory! The Vikings come out, they go down the field, they score a touchdown. You know, from that moment on, I'm standing up watching the rest of the game. But we come right back. We answer right back with the Saquon touchdown. We go right down the field. We look great. We looked great throughout the day. When the Vikings got things going, we had an answer. We'd come up with big stops when we needed it. It was a great day to be a Giant fan.
We are back! That's we right.
Disciple, I mean, did you make your way to Minneapolis or what? I know we were toying with it.
I wanted to go, man. I was thinking about flying to Milwaukee, driving 5 hours to Minneapolis, the airfare to Minneapolis, $900 plus. Just can't, not doable, you know. I didn't make it.
For those out there that don't know, TSM here and myself have been to many Giants away games and done absolute absurd stuff. And Tracksuit Mike was filling my head with insane whispers. And my God, would I have loved to have been in that stadium for this 31-24 victory. My God.
And you've been there, right? You went there once before with your coworker from
I've been there with a couple of buddies a couple years back. Yeah, a coworker Monday night game. And I don't know what Nick Gates was talking about, because that stadium is probably the loudest sporting environment I've ever been in my life. And twice the Giants have come down and operated flawlessly on offense. And holy crap, holy shit. But my God. Fantastic game. Flawless.
Well, I'll tell you, there's some flaws and there's some things that we got to clean up.
I don't want to hear it.
I'm not crying about it. Listen, I am not crying about it. Look, it's a kind of a tale of two tackles. Evan Neal allows 7 pressures, but Andrew Thomas allowed 0.
Yeah, Big Blue, you know, traveled well. The fans were in the building. It was a loud, loud environment. Daniel Jones just showed that he can come up in the big moment. Kirk Cousins played well. Daniel Jones just played that much better. And the Giants offense was really clicking. Weird week for Wink. We didn't see as much blitzing as normal, but I think his plan.
Some zones in there too.
I think his plan kind of worked in the end, right? Switched off with McKinney. McKinney goes on to Hockenson and makes the play to end the game.
Oh, that moment, man. Oh, they just knew victory formation was coming. It was like, the Giants have not, like think about the last time the Giants won a playoff game, 10 years ago, before I even met Mac. I mean, and I've known him for 10 years.
That's actually pretty wild to put into context right there.
Yeah. Wow. Think of all, and like, God rest his soul, all the Giants fans that weren't here to see it, man, that might have passed away in that time, friends and family.
11.
God bless.
11 years. 11 years. I was a young, single man the last time the Giants won a playoff game.
I was in high school, and now I'm a dad.
My wife, who I love, and drove her nuts watching these games, but last time they won a playoff game.
So let's talk about how we got there. Let's go back to let's rein it in. I love this. I love it. My God, just bask in it. Bask in the glow of this. The world has changed in 11 years. That's for goddamn sure. Now, I am not as quite as distinguished as either of you gentlemen, given the family status. But nonetheless, a decade plus is a decade plus. But this game, right off the bat, two things absolutely love. I mean, the Minnesota Vikings, you said, Tommy, they marched down the field. It was the scripted first drive. Absolutely, we're dicing up the defense. But what I don't know which drive it was, the second or the third, they gave us They did us a huge favor, which is one of many puzzling decisions that the Vikings made in the game. That trick play on 3rd and 1.
Oh, yeah. What were they thinking?
I mean, I don't know. What was that? That was amazing.
I'm not sure if it was designed that way, but the second Jefferson looks back and throws it to Kirk, I'm like, oh, this, they're punting it right now. Or wait, were they in field goal range? I don't remember.
No, they punted. That was the they punted there. Yeah. Because, and I'll tell you, anytime we gave up a little bit on third down, I'd get nervous because, you know, this guy's a gambler. He's going to look at those metrics and go, we're going for it on fourth down, which he did plenty of times throughout the day. The last time we played them, you just think about, you know, the difference in this team just over a year, not even going all the way back to the last time we won a playoff game. January 9th, the Giants take a QB sneak on 3rd and 8. And now we go from there to that Darius Slayton drop, which was the worst part of the game, right? And a little doubt's creeping in on all of us, I'm sure. Dable, you know, goes over and encourages them. And the defense comes up big and picks them up.
It's just a movie we've seen 1,000 times, man. I mean, they're up by a touchdown. They allow another touchdown, and they lose on a game-winning field goal. It's something we've seen so many times, and you got to be insane not to think that way.
And this time?
And thank God that it didn't happen, though.
Like, fucking God.
Yes, for Giants fans, and yes, for us and for the team, but also for Slayton. I mean, this guy has been Mr. Do-Anything. He has taken a pay cut to stay with this team. I don't know if you've listened to some of his interviews lately, but the way he talks about Daniel Jones and their connection and wanting to be on this team and play with him, like I want to root for the guy, and he has done nothing but step up for this team. Yes, he's got a case of the drop skis, and that drop was egregious. We would be crushing him right now if things turned out the other way. But hey, Tommy, you're talking about it. The way Dable comes up and talks to him after, and you know he's obviously encouraging him. This guy means something to the Giants team this season. Really glad that drop wasn't costly for a lot of reasons, obviously. But you know, for his sake, God bless.
Yeah, we go into the past, and that gets us. They score, they tie the game up, and kick a field goal in overtime or to end regulation, and you know we lose. You know, we read that article on the site about, you know, 1997, a minute and 30 seconds left. This doesn't happen. This team's a different team. You know, we've turned the corner, and, you know, we'll see what happens this week in Philly, but we've had a hell of a year. Daniel Jones is earning more money every time he goes on the field. You know, Saquon, you know, the big story, he didn't have a lot of touches. He caught 5 balls, right, in addition to the touches that he had on the ground. But he came up with
two
huge touchdowns.
Oh, yeah, my God. He had a lot of scrimmage yards.
I mean, that first touchdown drive, when he just squeaked through those two dudes, what was it, 20-plus yard touchdown run? But, like, he just – the explosiveness and the burst, like, not to cut you off, Tommy, like, I'm just saying, like, the effectiveness of the touches that he did have was so exciting to see, especially that first touchdown run. Like, just so sneaky.
And the second one, the second one where he drags former Giant Dalvin Tomlinson into the end zone, and you see him jawing right at him, and that was the biggest play of his career right there.
Oh, yeah. I mean, how about Kenny Golladay pancake blocking on the run? 4 snaps, and I swear to God, he made some money those snaps. I mean, he's getting paid anyway, so
yeah, that was awesome. Put him out there. You had a nice block on the edge by Hodgins, another receiver, with that big block on the touchdown, and Feliciano making up for the flex, and he flexed on that play, and they pulled the center, and he's out there making a huge block on the edge, and Saquon scores.
Well, let's come back to something that you said, Tommy, about the January 9th last year and the decision of Joe Judge and this organization to embarrass themselves, the team, and New York with that sneak. And flip it this year and look at the team and the way that they respond to Dable. Like, I mean, again, Kenny Golladay, this high-prized free agent that is much maligned by this podcast and just about every New York Giants fan. He only got on the field for 4 snaps. This guy's playing his goddamn heart out. And Saquon Barkley ran after him, jacked up after the play. I mean, Cordell Flott, a rookie who has
massive,
played some snaps,
massive pass defense.
He's only played 3 snaps the whole goddamn game. And one of the snaps is that huge pass block, like you said, on the last drive of the game in man coverage on KJ Osborne. I mean, his left hand just sneaking in there, battening away. I mean, the dude played three whole snaps. Dable has these guys ready to play and jacked up for one another. I mean, it's really unbelievable. It's fantastic. You gotta love it.
You know, they say like, oh, the team's a family, and like, which Giant came out and said like, okay,
can we get a drop? Can we get a family? It's family. Sorry.
Wasn't it Kayvon Thibodeau that was like, no, this team is a family. And I don't know if you guys are on Instagram, but Jihad Ward loves to do like honestly pretty intimate like sights and sounds of the Giants. Yesterday he went live on the airplane home, and all you see is Saquon and Daniel Jones studying the film on their tablets.
Oh, that was Hottie that was doing that.
It was Jihad Ward that like he's done that before, but Isaiah Hodgins shared the video of them in the locker room like. You can really tell, like the camaraderie is like really there. You know what I'm saying? It's not like a job. Like they really are a family. They showed a picture, a video, of Dexter Lawrence like chasing Saquon Barkley in the locker room, like go get him. And it's just like, dude, these guys are having fun, man. Like that's a dangerous team if they're having fun.
I got two things for us. One's a huge prediction in the middle of the show here. The other is. Might be very controversial for a lot of Giant fans, the second comment. Number one, I don't know what the cap ramifications are next year, but if it costs us a lot to cut Kenny Golladay, this guy may be on the team next year because nobody's going to take him in a trade. If it's a huge cap hit, you might just leave him and let him continue to play, and maybe you get something out of him.
Bullshit.
After another camp and another, you know, set of practices with this staff and off season, maybe. Not saying let's do it. Let's see what it costs us to cut him. If it's a big dead cap hit, he may be here next
Bullshit.
Year.
Bullshit.
Number two.
Dexter
Lawrence. Xavier McKinney.
Oh.
Daniel Jones. Extend. Saquon Barkley at the two spot. All Dave Gettleman picks. You think he was sitting on a couch somewhere, drinking a scotch maybe? Going.
That's my quarterback.
Those are my guys. Those are my
Bring
guys.
Him back, baby.
All right. So no. Here's the thing. Like Gettleman. Yeah, he had some good draft picks, but like, I'm glad he's gone. He needed to retire. The game had passed him by.
The big one is
we had major renovations
look at our coaches under him. We were terrible. Exactly. We had no leadership.
And some of his free agent decisions, like, just were horrendous. Honestly, he did have some hits in the draft. But, like, everything else, the coaching hires, and the way he carried himself, like, I don't know, kind of foolish. Like, the whole Landon Collins thing, like I said, I'm glad he's gone. I'm thankful for some of the picks he made. And, yeah, I'm so excited for what the future is going to hold for this team.
I'm thankful
man.
We have Joe.
We've got the right guys.
Joe Shane and Brian Daboll, just a little bit. It's definitely not an Ernie Accorsi Super Bowl championship team where you go, hey, Ernie built this team. But he brought some of these guys in, and Dable and Shane have been able to pull the talent out of some of these guys and use them correctly. So I'm definitely not giving him the credit. Just I've heard it a couple times. I've seen it on social media. You know, funny, but happy we have solid leadership now.
And we're excited about Joe Shane, and we absolutely should be. Everyone should be positive. Again, it's Victory Monday, Giants Nation. I am not going to talk about the offseason right now, but Joe Shane has had limited resources to do things. What limited he has seemingly worked out. But this, to your point, the bones of this team is Dave Gettleman. So I think it's really a testament that Joe Shane's biggest accomplishment is sticking to his guns and going and getting Brian Daboll. So, Tommy, you were saying about coaching. Talk to me. Wink Martindale, Mike Kafka, give me something that you loved from this weekend. What set us apart? Offense game plan, defense game plan. I don't give a shit. But talk to me about this coaching because O'Connell got out coached. He has so much more talent than the Giants on paper. That's the reality of it. I don't care. Like, let's hear about it.
Kafka,
no, 100%.
Kafka just the game plan that Daboll and Kafka came up with on offense. To use Daniel Jones as the runner, they had to see something on film to say, we're not going to use Saquon as much as we did the last time, as much as we have this season. he's still going to get touches. He's still going to play an important role. Obviously, he's one of the best players on the field. But the designed runs for DJ, the guy had 70 yards almost beginning of the second quarter. I thought for sure this was one of the only things after we won. I went, damn, it would have been nice to see him go over 100 just to hit the number, and we won. And I know it cost a lot of people on some prop bets, but it looked like he was going to do it. I mean, this kid was on a mission. Designed runs
17 for 78, 4.6.
And I definitely think
for 78, 4.6.
In meeting rooms, he was told, if you see it, take it. If you see a lane, go. And he did throughout the day. On defense, who am I to question Wink Martindale and his defensive genius of a brain that this guy has? I was shocked that we changed things and we were sitting back in zone, putting, you know, less pressure on than we normally do. We were getting there. Again, this was just a case of, like it seems throughout the year, we're just shy. And how about that Dexter Lawrence roughing the passer? That might be the worst roughing the passer call I've ever seen. And only make it worse was the time of the game that they called it.
Okay, so here's the question that I have for you, Tracksuit. Is it – because this is really the only negative of the game. I don't think that the refs really imposed their will on this. There's a couple questionable calls here and there. I'm sure the Vikings might feel differently about some false starts. Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, the Vikings, somebody was saying that they didn't think that Hodges bobbled the ball on that one play. On that sideline catch, I mean, just a beautiful throw and catch.
Yeah, that was pretty.
And they hurried it up. They hurried it up, so you know it's a little sketchy. But you know what? I don't give a fuck.
No, I think he caught it. No,
he did.
But okay, is it worse? The roughing the passer. Is it worse if it was because of the smudge on the helmet or because of the way that he threw him to the ground? Like, which?
I think it was the arm against the head. That's what, like the throwing to the ground. I mean, it wasn't that violent. There wasn't a lot of whiplash. It was like a pretty soft. He did, but it's just, I guess you can't hit him in the head, man. That's just, I get it. I mean, it sucks, but like, it's what they want to do. It's so hard to actually control your body like that when it's happening in milliseconds in real time.
I don't think Dexter Lawrence knew the football was gone, but he was there instantly. And Pereira came on and didn't think it was a roughing call. I'll tell you the one person I would have loved to hear from if Troy was still doing games for Fox, because usually he's pro quarterback, but occasionally he'll go, I don't know. And I think that would have been one there that even he would have said wasn't a roughing call.
Aikman, I'm so happy.
Because he forgets where he is for a second.
I would like to talk about, how about Kevin Burkhardt and Greg Olsen did a pretty good job on the broadcast as the A squad for Fox, I got to say. Yeah, I love Kevin Burkhardt from his New York Mets days, obviously. Very, very good broadcaster and happy to see his path to the top, really.
Speaking of path to the top, good segue. We have not talked about Daniel Jones enough. Can we talk about the symphony that this man composed? The absolute pearl, the gem, the beauteous manifesto that was the game against the Vikings. Like, think about this. The last three games that he has played, the Eagles game, obviously, he didn't play. But two against the Vikings, against the Colts. You can talk about them being bad defenses all you want, but how many times for years have the Giants not played well against teams they should have? Yo, he's playing the best football of his career, and he had a perfection of a game.
How about 62 points in the last two starts on offense?
That's unheard of.
31, and I think they had the Landon Collins pick six. I'm talking about Daniel Jones, though. So the Colts game, 31 points. Yesterday, 31 points on offense. We came from a place where we didn't have 30 points in a game in like 600 days, bro. Like, that's two, three whole years.
And let's go back.
It's unheard of.
And let's go back 3-4 weeks ago. What are we always talking about when we were talking about whether it was the Daniel Jones court or just talking about next week's game? We can't win if we only score 17 points. Huge predictions. 21, 23 was our max. And if we get there, we're praying that the defense can come through. And these last 2 weeks, and I think it's just an evolution of the offense and Daniel Jones and Dable's trust in DJ that the offense has exploded, you know, down the stretch.
Mike, are you going to apologize? Are you going to apologize to Daniel Jones? I mean, 69% completion rating. 301 yards.
Actually the only quarterback to have 300 plus two TDs and 70 yards rushing. I think. Did you see that right?
Yeah. Yes, because also it was who else have done it? It was.
All right, I'll just come out and say, yeah, I was wrong. I shouldn't have doubted him. I was doubting him all season, and he shut my ass up. He's earned 40 to 45 million a year just for ending the playoff win drought. And the fact that we,
yeah. I think we're looking at,
I mean, dude,
4 years.
This is what a quarterback earns, man. It's going to be, listen, I'm telling you, the salary cap is going to go up a lot next year, especially with that Sunday ticket. It's going to go up, man. It's going to keep going up. Inflation going up. This going up. It's rising. It's increasing. And it's like, you know, he's going to get locked up long term. At least I'm thinking 4 years, like 160. I really am. Dude, look at the money that like Brock Osweiler, bro. Like contracts like that. Like, how the fuck are quarterbacks able to get this shit?
I think he's looking at,
you know what I'm saying? I think
he's looking at $45-50 million guaranteed, and probably at least 100 to 120 on a 3 or 4 year deal, depending on what.
I mean, listen, like it was like we needed Daniel to stay healthy.
I love it. But let's not get carried away. We have all offseason to talk about the future of Daniel Jones. Let's just talk about today. And today, Daniel Jones is finally getting some goddamn respect. I have been screaming at everyone from the high heavens. And I know, Tommy, you've been on my side, but not everybody has. And especially not you, a TSM, Mr. Disciple. And I love that you're having your slice of humble pie and you're coming back to sanity. But contract details aside, how awesome was it just watching, like, yes, the chills being in the stadium for the Colts game and listening to people chant his name, it was beautiful, but watching him in front of a national audience in the playoffs, absolutely just be poised. He was poised. And yeah,
dude, there was one point where they were getting 15 yards a play.
Hey, whole country.
Did you not feel confident?
Whole country.
I felt great. I was kind of feeling down after that first touchdown. They go down 7-0, was it? Or no, they went up 7 and then they came back for 7. The defense looked like shit that first drive, and I'm like, dude, like I don't want to say nothing, but like there was 3 outcomes in this game.
Jefferson had 4 catches.
All right, listen. There was 3 possible outcomes in this game. The Giants were either getting blown out, the Giants were losing close, or the Giants were winning close. And I'm so happy it's the third outcome, because I'm like, I don't think the Giants can blow out anybody. But I mean, the way the offense looked yesterday, like, it's going to be hard in the playoffs regardless. But I think that, you know, no matter what happens, you know, you can carry some fucking momentum, because like the offense, I can't remember the last time the offense looked this good. I mean, are we talking like 2015? Like, I don't know.
And I'll tell you, they were a Daniel Bellinger penalty away from going up 21-7 going into the half.
And then they allowed that last touchdown like right before the half, and I was like, that's when I was like, oh, I don't feel good. But at least we get the ball
back.
And they didn't do nothing that drive.
And my thing with Daniel, and not to get into next year or any of that, but just looking right now, you know, not a primetime game, but a primetime spot. The whole country's watching. You're the only show on television in the NFL, and with all that pressure constantly responding, it comes up huge in a big spot. So, and he's in New York, so all that out, right? You talk about all these quarterbacks that might come in, you know, over the years, and could he play in New York? This guy proved on Sunday, you know, he's a big game quarterback in his first shot. So let's see what happens this week, but it gives you confidence knowing what he did.
Keep it rolling, Daniel. Keep it rolling, G-Men. Let's go. We're going to be coming back to talking about the Eagles. But for right now, oh my God, I'm just, even just saying it and thinking we have another week of this podcast because the Giants are on the divisional round. Giants Nation, enjoy this week of having the national pundits have to talk positively about the Giants. Enjoy reading fun articles and listening to us be excited about the team. But for a moment, let's take a look back at last week. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to you, Tommy, for our new segment.
Okay, boys, it's time to check our work. We're going to take a look at last week's segment, Four Down Territory, where we looked back at the Giants and the four most important matchups in the rematch against the Vikings. First down, I talked about Adoree Jackson, Justin Jefferson in the matchup. 7 catches, 47 yards, 0 touchdowns. Contained. Took a big weapon of theirs, and Adoree being back. I can't remember who said it, one of his teammates. That's why he gets paid what he gets paid. He came up huge in his first game back, and it really went a long way into the Giants coming out on top.
I mean, you'd love to see it, man. I mean, I feel like missing Jackson and McKinney, and like there's a direct correlation with that, and then giving up a lot of points on defense during that little skid they had, you know. So they're finally back, they're healthy, and they look good. They're real, and they're spectacular.
Second down, I had the Giants pass rush versus the Vikings offensive line, and man, could I have been more wrong. I had predicted a huge game for the Giants defensive line. Azeez Ojulari, we didn't talk about it because we wanted to stay positive. Actually, I think he only played 8 snaps, yet again injured, this time with a quad, hopefully a contusion, but it doesn't sound good. Anyways, no sacks for the Giants, defensive line or otherwise. Now, there were 11 hits, though, and 5 tackles for a loss. So I think anybody watching the game knows the Giants defensive line absolutely imposed, but it was not the game that I thought it was. Wink didn't blitz as much. They set back, which again, I think shows that he thought they would get more pressure, right? You know, being able to just rush with the top four. So again, made an impact, but it was not the, you know, matchup that decided the game in the way that I really thought it would be, especially feasting on that, the backup right tackle. Dexter Lawrence, though, still a beast, you know, four hits himself, I believe. But anywho, can we just stay healthy for God's sake?
We talked a lot about a sack party and we definitely didn't see it, but they did have some pressure. Like you said, Dexter comes up big, but no sack party. So we were still able to get pressure and it helped out, but we did not have the numbers we thought we'd have there on defense. So at third down, we talked about the Giants versus cornerback number 2, Duke Shelley. Patrick Peterson, the number 1 cornerback in Minnesota, attacking Shelley, and success in the air. Daniel Jones, 300 yards, 2 receiving touchdowns. You know, we'll run down. I mean, Isaiah Hodgins is a diamond in the rough.
On a bum ankle. 100 yards and a touchdown.
Did you gotta see give credit. Picture?
Oh, yeah. I shared it.
Goo.
And let me tell you something. Shout out Peter Schrager of NFL Network. On Friday, Good Morning Football, he pulled out Isaiah Hodgins' jersey and said, Hodgins is going for 100 yards and a touchdown. Giants are winning. And he was right. He loves the Giants. I love it.
And I'll tell you, Darius Slayton had a huge day. Just 4 catches, 88 yards. He doesn't drop that ball. He goes over 100 and the game's over there. Saquon, 5 catches, 56 yards. Richie James contributes. Daniel Bellinger with the big touchdown. Big day in the air.
Oh, wait. One note on Daniel Bellinger. His father is on Twitter, and he shared, he goes, just a pleasure to compete against, to see my son compete against one of the greats, Patrick Peterson. And it's him catching the 2-point conversion in the first game and the touchdown in the second game with him in the background. It was awesome.
Expert level trolling from Mr. Bellinger. We love to see it. That's fantastic. So does that get me to fourth down? Are we on fourth down?
Yes, we are.
All right. So Dalvin Cook and the Giants run defense. Okay. So, I mean, fire Kevin O'Connell for Jesus Christ. I said this last week and you know what? I'm going to go ahead and pat myself on the back. I think it's one of the reasons the Giants weren't even positioned to win, let alone crush them. Dalvin Cook, yet again, mysteriously rushed for 15 attempts. The game before, I believe only 14. He had 60 yards, no touchdowns, a complete non-factor in this game. The Giants D, it really imposed their will on everybody not named TJ Hockenson. The Giants defense a rush defense, I believe, again, 27th worst in the NFL coming into the game, and you only scheme for all-world Dalvin Cook to get 15 touches in a, yet again, very close game all the way through. I don't know what is going through Kevin O'Connell's head. Yeah, but fantastic for the Giants, and hopefully it's indicative that you know Gerard Davis is adding an impact, that you know the defensive line is coming together, and you know Landon Collins and Tony Jefferson are making an impact, because for God's sake, we're going to need it against the Eagles, and this run defense needs to come together. But Dalvin Cook, non-factor in the New York Football Giants victory on Super Wild Card Weekend against the Minnesota Vikings. TSM, you got anything to say about that, brother?
I just, you know, there was some, he got his yards. Like, I mean, he had 15 carries for 60 yards, so he averaged 4, but there was some he got like 10 yards and some he got like -4. You know what I mean? So, I mean, I thought their defense did a really good job containing him. You had Dexter Lawrence tossing guys. It was on Baldy's breakdowns this morning. Highly recommend that on Twitter. You know, Leonard Williams, Dexter Lawrence next to each other is like a really, really, really good thing for this team. And the linebackers we have aren't like crazy talented, but they get the job done. Except, you know, Hockenson did have a good game, but, you know, to limit the run game to only 60 yards is a victory.
Yeah, you know, we've had some trouble with the tight end this year. Historically, the Giants can't cover tight ends. This year, Mark Andrews, TJ Hockenson twice, but hey, you shut down their number one weapon. They had to go to number two. We shut down Dalvin Cook on the ground. I think we had a good week with our four down territory last week. I was going to say B+, but the win, it's an A+. It's Victory Monday.
Thank you, Tommy. All right, boys, Victory Monday. Be jacked up. Enjoy your weeks. Anything you got to say to the folks before we get out of here? We're going to see them in a few days.
I got nothing. Go Giants. Go fucking Giants.
All right, boys. Let's not bicker over who killed who. And let's end tonight with the fact that the Minnesota Vikings were not aware that the Giants are young.
They're aggressive.
They're improving.
New York
football.
Giants.
God, I love that. For Mac, Tracksuit Mike, and Tommy, we're Big Blue all goddamn day.